Welcome to our O'Brien podcast. Today we're doing a really special interview with Dean O'Brien. We're going to be talking about everything that it takes to be able to build a great growth plan. So as an individual agent, the things that you should be looking at as we head into the new financial year. We're going to talk about things like average sale price, volume of transactions and fee, the importance of being able to understand what your conversion campaigns are, the last 50 transactions that you've done inside of your career, what's working well for you, and the things that you could even be better at. And if you just get these things right, it will allow significant momentum on the inside of your business. Dean, today's a really important part, and we're going to do a specific audio just talking a lot about, you know, getting an agent growth plan in play. You know, as we've come to the close of a financial year, we're starting off a new one. It's really important for people to kind of get, you know, really focused about what they really want out of their career. And this is a, you know, a really simple idea about living life on purpose. You know, that in order to have a great business, you want to think about having a great life. And having a great life is about making sure you've got some clear priorities. For me, I've got those priorities all around things like health and then family and then work. And if I'm going to be purposeful in work, then I've got to really look at always growing. Dean, how important is it for someone to have a bit of a focus that, you know, as an individual salesperson, you know, that they're growing on a continual basis around, you know, what it actually is that they're achieving inside of their career?
Josh, very important. One of our core values at our organisation is realising potential. And every day we come into our offices and every time we come into our place of work and we just want to be the very best. We want to facilitate growth as our purpose and people to realise their potential. So having a plan makes this a lot easier. Allows us to communicate with our team, allows the agents to actually have a real purpose of getting up. If they know what their average sale price is, they know what sales volume they're going to do this year, they know what their average fee is and their market they serve, they can actually put a real strategic plan about achieving that potential that they're ultimately here for.
And this is one of the big things is that, you know, people often ask me, say, you know, how do you coach someone like Alexander Phillips? And it's like, well, it's no different to coaching someone who's starting inside of the industry as a brand new person, because it's all about thinking about what his intent is. What has he actually come here to do? And once he's got that intent about, you know, markets to be serving and types of transactional volume and all that stuff, then you just got to get to organizational clarity. So, you know, if you want to do 50 deals a year, you definitely need an assistant. If you're going to do 10 deals a year, that's just you on your own, right? And so, you know, that's an important part. So intent leads to organizational clarity. And then you got to start thinking about technical competence, how you can be learning specific skills. You know, to me, Dean, some of the most important skills for people is to be learning how to do a great listing presentation, because once you know how to list, then ultimately things change for you inside of your career. And we've seen a number of people when we first started out in the Berwick office that have significantly driven their results, you know, from Gerard McRae in the early days, right the way through to Matty Harris, what we're doing with Paul Rogers, what we did with Jay Giblett. And a lot of those people, and even the Boyles now coming through, you know, in more recent times, where as soon as people learn specifically how to do that listing presentation, it just changes what they do as an agent. Then there's all the prospecting skills, you know, how to do a great open home callback, how to make sure that you're generating the leads, how to make sure that you're in a position that you can be getting enough listings. So Dean, as we come to this part of the year, what are some of the elements that you think are really important inside of a growth plan that an agent needs to pay particular attention to at a numbers level to make sure that they are getting the growth that they deserve?
Look, numbers are very good and they're very important, but what you just said there about the listing presentation, Josh, was that was a significant shift in our business, because once they had a great listing presentation, they did great prospecting, which allowed our numbers then to grow because they were excited about prospecting. So when they got that opportunity to use that listing presentation, they were in there winning the business. But what's really important about their numbers at the moment and moving forward this time in the year so they can prepare for next financial year is actually understanding where their lead sources come from. And one of the actions we like to do is look at their last 50 sales, their last 50 listings, identify where their major lead sources are, and actually have a clear understanding of where they're best in business. That allows you then to focus on what is working well, but even better if we could also pick up this other area and have a direct alignment of understanding our business and amplifying that opportunity.
So really, to build out a great agenda, you know, someone should spend some time in thinking about what a growth plan looks like. So to me, we always start at the numbers first. So we say, okay, great, where have you been? So let's have a quick look at things like the average sale price, the total number of transactions that they've done, and what their average fee has been. Now, Dean, the reason why these numbers are important is that for each person, it's going to be maybe some different ones that there's going to be the next throttle for the next stage in their growth. So let's say, for example, you're at 20 transactions a year. Well, going to 30 transactions a year is really significant because that's a 50% increase in your business. If you're in a position that you've been charging 2%, and you can get that to 2.5%. It doesn't sound like a lot, but that extra 0.5% over the two, that's a 25% increase in that business. If you're in a position, for example, that you've got an average sale price of $500,000 and you can move that to $750,000, again, that's a 50% increase in the business. And so you've got to really have a look at those numbers, because sometimes you might be pushing the boundaries on average sale price. So maybe average fee is the key thing that you're going to need to use. How important is it for people to look at those three sets of numbers to be able to make the decision on how they're going to achieve their growth?
Josh, knowing these key numbers is really important. Your average price that you, in your marketplace, the sales volume and your fee. And if you just accelerate that by 10%, so your volume goes up by 10, 15, 20%, your fee, your ad plus GST means goes up by 10%. And if you go and your average sale price, you might want to go to an area that has maybe a 20 or 25% more aggressive. The whole thing in your business and the GCI that you can get into it goes up rapidly, not just a little bit, but a lot quicker. And then as we get more into your organization and more into your business, you actually will accelerate your business quickly. You can 2x your business within 12 months, 18 months.
And this is a big thing, is about getting intentional inside a business, right? Because, you know, time is limited and you're not paid on time, you're paid on results. And so being a great agent is about really understanding, you know, what it is that you're doing there. So, you know, you've got to make some decisions with that and sitting down with your director. And it's really an important thing to talk about something going called total addressable market. So, you know, sometimes someone says, hey, I want to do, I'm at 50 transactions, and I want to go to 100. But the problem is that inside of the market that they're working in, there's 100 transactions. So that would require 100% market share. Now, Dean, you know, every real estate agent's going to have a relative, so it's probably not likely that you're going to get 100% market share in every market. So it is important to work out when is the time for the next market. And that might be sometimes not just geographically, but maybe different types of properties. So you're moving from units to houses or houses to rural, you know, and you're starting to be in that position to start to see, well, what actually is the capability sitting inside of my market, so then I can go and drive that. Once someone's reviewed their numbers and they're having a look at that, you've got a big belief that having a look over the last 50 transactions can give us some great insights into the business about what's working well and what's not. What do you look at when you look at those last 50 listings that have been brought into the business, and how does that potentially change what an agent does going forward?
Josh, we look at the lead source. If we can review our last 50 sales and review the last 50 lead sources, we'll actually have a really good idea and a good understanding about our business. Whether that come from our community, are we actively involved into that? Social proof, buyer work, landlords, or existing or past clients, or even key centre of influences. So therefore, we actually know what's working well for us, but even better if we focus on this, because most businesses, as do, have leakage. And our idea in real estate is to not just win what we win, but identify that leakage and actually make it better for us moving forward.
So I'll just look at that as a really important part, because when you start thinking about, okay, those last 50 transactions, what actually is the way that you're generating your leads? Now, for a lot of agents, if open for inspections was their major lead source, and then all of a sudden the total number of buyers coming through those opens gets bumpy, you know, as we've experienced over the course of the last 18 months, then all of a sudden that key lead source is starting to dry up a bit. So you actually need to find alternate lead sources. And also too, as a career progresses, sometimes there was a lead source that you didn't have that actually should now be a major lead source for you. You know, things like past clients or personal network that you're starting to build, or social proof during the course of every campaign. So really, you've got this theory, you know, Dean, about thinking about how strategy is important, but then measuring that strategy to know whether or not it's being effective, so then you can adjust. So you're making sure you're getting the right number of appointments. How many people did you meet during the course of every campaign? How many of those people were actually future sellers? How many did you then add to your pipeline? And then just getting really clear about, well, what's working well in the business and what's the stuff that could even be better if. And when you bring that alignment together and you get the growth plan together, then it changes what you're doing. Now, it's fine to have a growth plan, but Dean, then it's also important to make sure that you're getting in there to go and measure the success of it as you're progressing, so then you can be adjusting throughout the course of the year. How important is it for someone to be measuring those numbers on a weekly basis, particularly around the listing sales and income, actual versus target, and the buyer appointments, market appraisals, and listing appointments for each individual member inside of the team?
Very important, especially because, as you stated there before, we are a results-driven industry. We're not about hours that we come to work. One of the things that I really like that has happened over the last 12 months is not that the market has shifted on us, but we've actually identified real estate is a lot more than just turning up to an open house and finding our customers there. What it actually is our existing clients have a lot more value to us than what actually happens on that OFI day. The OFI day has been an absolute lead source. I mean, for many real estate agents, it's been the only lead source over the last 12 months. But as 50% of people have left that OFI market these days, it's meant 50% of your lead source is gone. And we've been able to go back and really find the value of our past clients. So therefore, what is important is actually knowing where your past clients are, how do you address them, and actually one of the things we're looking at this year too is the fact that where we spend our marketing spend, is it spent to the new customer or is it spent to the existing customer? Because our existing customers have got a lot more to offer because they've already been part of our organisation. One of the best things we're doing in our campaigns, Josh, now is when after a campaign's finished, we know how many of them are first home buyers, how many of them are landlords, and actually how many of them are second home buyers. That identifies what people come through our organisation, through our open for inspections, but also allows us to take that information to the next client that's in the similar marketplace. Understanding our prospecting numbers each week, what we need to do to get to our, it's a very simple process, is that if we need 25 new leads to get 5 more either maps or laps, therefore that we have 5 to get 1, and we can then put that into play against the plan if we want to get 40 transactions a year. And we want to get, we got to get 30 new prospect sellers in that marketplace for a new agent. Identifying that an existing agent, which is one of our 5-year A game players, they might not find as many new contacts and prospects because they're already dealing with existing clients. So therefore, each agent has a different model and a different strategy behind it. So numbers are so important, that and they are important to on an individual basis, just not on a volume base.
So really for an agent, this is also about identifying what your conversion campaigns are. So Seth Godin wrote a great book called This Is Marketing, and in that he spoke about conversion campaigns and also, you know, just branding or marketing campaigns for brand awareness. And so brand awareness is great, but like ultimately you need to move into a position that you've got your conversion campaigns and you're making that happen. So to me, this is also about getting really intentional inside of those call sessions, right? So that you're saying, okay, when I go to do a call is broken up into 3 very specific things. You've got an opener, you've then got like the middle or the body of the call, which then leads into a closer. And so ultimately in the opener, that's whatever you say in the course of the first 15 seconds. When you go to the body of the call, what you're talking about is that what do I want this client to know? What do I want them to feel? Or what do I want them to do? And then when we get to the closer, we're trying to do one of 2 things. We're either trying to get permission to continue the relationship, or we're actually trying to book an appointment. So let's have a quick look about how that might work. Let's say, Dean, I do a quick just listed call to you, very simple. You know, hi, Dean, Josh Fegan calling from O'Brien's. Now, just a very quick courtesy call. I wanted to let you know that we've just listed number 25 in your street. It's going to be open on Saturday between 10 and 10:30 if you wanted to pop down. By the way, how are things with you guys? And how's the house? And Dean, would it be okay if I let you know when it sells and what it makes? Now, what we're doing in that call is we're looking for the dissatisfaction of the client around them and their house. But the secondary thing that we're also doing is we're actually going to book, permission to be able to call them back when the property has been sold. Now we then move into the second type of call, which is the just sold call. This time around, we're actually going to go for the appointment. Hi, Dean. Josh Fegan calling from O'Brien's. Mate, just a very quick courtesy call. I just wanted to let you know that number 25 in your street has actually just been sold. Did you hear how much the property sold for? No, you didn't. Okay, great. Well, it sold for $1 million. So quick question. Based on that, Dean, what does that now mean your place is worth? What I'd love to do, pop out, give you a bit of an idea on the value, so then you can make some better decisions for the future. Would that be useful? Would that be okay? Would you let me do that for you? I could do something tomorrow. Would 2 o'clock or 4 o'clock be best? And what we're doing there is we're actually going to book the appointment. What I've seen a lot of people do, Dean, in their career is that they've just been touching base with a client for their entire career and never booked an appointment. Or worse than that, an agent who tries to book an appointment before they've actually asked the questions to create the need that the client would need it, then copping the rejection and stopping the calls. How important is it for someone to maintain the momentum, but to understand what the difference is between a conversion campaign and whether or not they're trying to book for permission or to get an appointment with the customer?
Josh, I like the way you look at that, and it's always asking for the permission to do, permission to continue to communicate, permission to come and help and assist. too many agents actually go out there and just want to go bang, bang, bang. And that's not right. It's just not respectful. It's just not needed. And yet, but they continue to do that and think that that's going to get them long-term success. Agents in the industry are the ones that actually give relevant information and give a service, not just take an advantage of an opportunity. And then they continue to do that over and over and over again. And that's why the call session is such a strong part of their business, is because they are now giving their business the time with the respect that's required to communicate to their customers, to their new customers, to their existing customers, with a constant purpose of asking permission, can I continue to communicate or can I come and actually help you? And that's either by giving them an update of where they sit in the current marketplace, or that's actually taking them to the market to get the successful sale, or for a new client is actually being on board to understand that I'm here to help whether you need me now or in the near future. And I think the need to understand the value of asking permission is just a great part of an agent's business.
I just think, you know, at the end of the day, you want to drive a lot of momentum and you want to drive consistency. And in order to be an incredible agent, you just got to start thinking, well, hang on a second, I just don't want to do the activities. Because I kind of worked it out the other day, right? If you do 40 weeks a year and you start thinking about, okay, great, I'm going to get out there, I'm going to go and make 100 calls. Mate, like, that's 4,000 calls, Dean. Let's just make those 4,000 really good.
That was amazing. You brought that up yesterday in training, and one of the things we look at, we train so big on the listing presentation, we train so big on the OFI, but how much time are we spending on the call? And when you brought that number up, I go, wow. So if I've got an agent in my organization that is working 40, 45 weeks and they make 100 phone calls each week, that's 45,000 phone calls a year that's going out in the marketplace, going out to their potential new clients. We've got to be very best on ground at that, but do we spend enough time on that? Or do we actually understand the importance of a great call?
And that's such an important part of what we do as an agent, right? It's like every single day you want to go and build momentum. And as we come to the close in today's audio, you just want to think about this, right? A 45-minute call session done every day, times that by 5 days a week, times that by 40 weeks in the year, you know, allowing for some time for, you know, things to be off and holiday periods and stuff. That's effectively 200 days, 200 call sessions. You get one appointment in each, that's 200 appointments. If half of those turn into something, that's 100. If half of those turn into actually something, a live listing presentation, that's 50. Times that by, say, $10,000 in fees, that's at least $500,000 in fee production. So how serious are you about growth? Because to me, it's the little things done consistently that build over time and that actually allow you to be able to build massive momentum, you know, and big doors that ultimately big doors swing on small hinges. And this is a small hinge, but an important one every day. Getting out there, getting in front of people, making those appointments, making that happen. And I think that we see that with a lot of the people that have really grown and progressed their careers here at O'Brien, is that their whole focus is about making sure that they're doing the basics really well.
Josh, I think it's really important that they know their numbers, work with a purpose, and be serious about their business and do it the very best they can be.